Then Shahrazad had risen from the table, stone-faced, to begin greeting all the noblemen in attendance, without Khalid. She had been determined to carry on for a time without the Caliph of Khorasan at her side, without the so-called King of Kings and his many, many secrets. And she had. But now she was foundering. "You should have told me about Yasmin. I looked like a fool." "Hello, Shahrazad. May I call you that?"
"What?"
Shahrazad said, shaken from her trance. Yasmin smiled, and it was so perfect that Shahrazad wanted to smear soot on her teeth. "Of course," Shahrazad responded, cursing her internal pettiness. The nobleman whose name she had already forgotten beamed at Yasmin, his eyes nearly bulging from their sockets.
"Would you mind if I borrowed the Khalifa for a moment?"
Yasmin fluttered her eyelashes at him with a skill Shahrazad could never hope to espouse. He nodded vigorously, spittle flying from his lips in place of an actual response. Yasmin took Shahrazad's hand, pulling her into the shadows behind an immense stone column.
"You looked like you needed to be saved."
"Thank you." Shahrazad hid her suspicion under a warm smile. Yasmin studied Shahrazad in the torchlight, emanating from the roaring lion nearby.
"You are frustratingly pretty," she pronounced.
"What?" The comment drew Shahrazad's brows together.
"I wasn't expecting you to be so beautiful."
Shahrazad held firm to her smile.
"Well, I wasn't expecting you at all."
Yasmin laughed airily, leaning against the polished marble with her hands behind her back.
"You're honest. It makes sense now. He adores honesty."
"Forgive me, but I'm a bit dense. You're going to have to be more specific."
"It makes sense why he chose you."
Yasmin's long-lashed eyes were trained on Shahrazad.
"Is she trying to be funny?"
"I'm quite certain you know he didn't choose me."
"You're wrong. He did choose you. And he does not make such decisions lightly."
Yasmin pushed off the pillar and took a step towards Shahrazad.
"Especially when he could have chosen a girl who wants nothing more than to love him."
Shahrazad's baser instincts drove her to strike back at Yasmin for the slight, but she refused to argue with a beautiful girl over a mercurial boy. Especially a boy who kept his secrets closer than he kept his confidences.
"While I do appreciate you saving me from a rather tedious conversation, I think it's time for me to rejoin my guests."
Shahrazad started to turn away.
"Do you love him?"
The question stopped Shahrazad in her tracks.
"I believe that's none of your business." "I disagree. You see, I've loved Khalid since we were children, and he deserves to be loved by someone who understands him."
Yasmin paused for a breath.
"Even if it's not me."
Of all the things Shahrazad expected Yasmin to say, it was not this. She'd expected the girl to threaten her, or engage in other such pettiness. But this admission proved Yasmin was not just a spoiled princess, denied her heart's desire.
She actually cares about him.
Even though he'd shown her the same icy welcome he'd granted her father, a strange feeling of pity began eclipsing Shahrazad's irritation.
"You understand Khalid,"
Shahrazad laughed in an effort to mask her growing unease.
"If so, please enlighten me. I'd be most grateful."
Yasmin smiled with an almost mincing kind of sympathy.
"That depends. How willing are you to assist your enemy, Shahrazad?"
"Alas, your great failure of the evening is that I do not see an enemy, Princess of Parthia." Shahrazad inclined her head in a brisk bow.
"If you'll excuse me."
"What do you see then?" Yasmin stepped into Shahrazad's path, her dark eyes sparkling with amusement.
"I see a beautiful manipulator, a weaver of words."
Yasmin nodded, her half-smile swooping in a lazy arc. It must be like looking in a mirror. She's quick and fearless.
How very fortunate, Sherzad grinned back. We should all be so lucky as to share a reflection with you.
Yasmin laughed, and for the first time, it sounded genuine.
What a shame, Sherzad Alhaizuran.
A part of me thinks I could like you. Were we to meet under a different sky at a different time?
I'm surprisingly inclined to agree, Yasmin al-Sharif.
Sherzad bowed deep, her fingertips brushing her forehead in a flourishing gesture. Then she turned on her heel to round the column and ran smack into the broad chest of a man. She stumbled and almost fell to the floor, but a steadying hand reached for hers, saving her from certain humiliation. When Sherzad faced her erstwhile rescuer, a pair of familiar silver and ash eyes stared down at her, shining with a fierce light, unmatched in their love.
Tarik, no, you can't.
She tried to withdraw her hand, but he pressed something in her grasp. A scrap of parchment. Sherzad wrapped her palm around it and pulled away.
Thank you, she said.
You're welcome, my lady. He smiled politely. Concerned that others might see this strange interaction, Sherzad stepped back and smoothed the fabric of her mantle, tucking the scrap of parchment beneath her thumb.
I don't believe we've met, she said casually, though her heart tripped in her chest with worry.
He shook his head, taking her lead.
I am Tarik Imran al-Ziyad of Talakan, my lady.
Tarik bowed, touching his hand to his brow. The Rajput emerged from the shadows behind Tarik, scowling all the while at the young nobleman's impressive height.
Is this your first visit to Ray? She continued, determined to appear at ease.
No, my lady. I used to have relatives in the city.
Used to?
Tarik grinned with ready charm, though his eyes continued to betray their depth of feeling.
Yes, but I hope to change that soon.
He lowered his voice.
When I marry.
The sentiment behind his words was clear. She felt the warmth in his gaze, and for a moment, Sherzad allowed herself to really look at him, to look up into the perfect face of the brash boy she fell in love with, and remember. The scrawny girl whose eyes followed his every move, and the tall boy who followed her with all of his senses.
Sherzad!
At the sound of Khalid's voice, Tarik took a protective step toward her. Sherzad's hazel eyes sparked in warning as she warded off a sharp current of fear.
Khalid will see everything, because Tarik can't hide anything.
Khalid strode to her without so much as a glance at Tarik.
Sherzad, he repeated.
Yes. I've been looking for you, he said in an even tone. Sherzad twisted his way, not even bothering to hide her anger.
1,000 apologies, Sayidi. I was talking to Yasmin and lost track of what truly matters.
Her words were a carefully aimed strike. Khalid took the blow without flinching, his amber eyes cool.
I see.
Do you?
Sherzad held his gaze, her mind a muddle of thoughts and emotions. Now was not the time or the place to share them. After all, Khalid had his secrets. He did not deserve to know hers.
Baba and Irsa, Tarik. She had to keep those she loved safe, safe from this boy with a cruel past and an untenable future, safe from the sway he held over her heart.
Have you met Tarik Imran al-Ziyad, Sayidi?
She asked Khalid, determined to have control over the situation.
Khalid blinked once. Finally, he turned to acknowledge Tarik's presence.
Tarik's entire demeanor hardened. His mouth flattened into a line.
Oh God, please do better than that.
Then he relaxed and smiled at Khalid.
Sayidi.
He bowed low, with a hand to his brow.
I am Tarik Imran al-Ziyad. Son of Nasir al-Ziyad, Emir of Talakan.
Khalid returned a crisp nod. I hope you enjoy your stay in the city.
Tariq's smile widened.
With such hospitality, Saidi, I'm certain I will.
Is he insane?
Sherzad paced in the shadows on her balcony, her heart pounding in time with her steps. The sliver of parchment in her hand was now mingled with the sweat from her palm. A dash of ink had managed to bleed onto her skin, making a black and blue mess of the whole thing. She unfurled the ruin once more to read the outlandish missive scrawled across its surface in Tariq's bold script.
Your balcony, when the moon is at its highest point in the night. I'll wait until dawn if I must. Do not test me.
At least he'd had the sense not to sign it. Utterly mad. She crumpled it in her fist for the fifth time. He was risking everything with his foolhardiness, with his arrogance, with his...
Shazi.
A form materialized in the darkness at the edge of the balcony.
Come here, she seethed.
Tariq glided closer, hunching low. Sherzad grabbed him by the hood of his ridda and hauled him against the deepest shade along the wall.
Are you completely insane? She demanded. Do you realize how dangerous?
Tariq pulled Sherzad into his chest.
God, I've missed you.
When Sherzad tried to speak again, he pressed her face tight against him, laughing at her protests.
Just stop. For the space of a moment, let me hold you.
You are mad, Tariq Imran al-Ziyad. Utterly mad, she grumbled, smacking his shoulder. How did you even manage an invitation?
He shrugged.
I intercepted the one sent to my father at Talakan. Or, to be more precise, Rahim intercepted it.
You idiot! Coming here was beyond foolish, and...
Foolish though it may be, I am here to finish what you started. Tariq ran his fingers through her hair.
Tell me how you plan to kill the boy king.
Sherzad was oddly silent.
Shazi?
She hedged.
Have you not made plans yet?
Sherzad pushed away from his chest, unwilling to give voice to her uncertainty.
Fine, what have you learned? He continued.
She frowned and glanced from the shadows to the stone railing beyond.
Sherzad, you've been here for weeks. What have you learned? What are the boy king's habits? His weaknesses?
Tell him what you know.
I don't know. He's difficult to read.
Why can't I tell him?
Difficult. He has the personality of an aging camel, just as surly and just as useless.
A strange pang cut through Sherzad at this assessment.
What do you mean?
He picks at his food, lounges in sullen silence, and lets his wife fight his battles for him.
What? No, you misunderstood the situation.
Please tell me you're not defending him.
He barely acknowledged your presence the entire evening, except to parade you before everyone like a prize he had won. And then that irritating moment when he fidgeted with your jewelry. I could have done without that.
I'm not defending him. I'm saying that it's complicated. Even through the layers of darkness, Sherzad could see Tariq's thick eyebrows gather at the bridge of his nose.
Complicated? There's nothing complicated about it. As far as I'm concerned, all I need is ready access to a weapon and a clear shot.
No. Sherzad heard a sound in her room. Her heart stopped. She pressed a hand to Tariq's lips and shoved him into the shadows. Then she strode into her chamber, sighing with relief to find no one there. Tariq was leaning against the wall when Sherzad returned.
Are you expecting someone? He asked in a cool tone.
You have to leave.
Why?
There was a note of warning to his voice.
Tariq, please.
His eyes narrowed to silver slits.
Will he come to see you tonight? You need to leave. Now.
Sherzad tugged at his wrist, but he refused to budge from the wall.
Good. Let him come. That will solve the matter on all fronts.
Do you have a death wish?
She cried in muted despair. Tarik laughed, and the sound was full of heedless arrogance.
From the boy king, that aging camel?
You idiot, he'll kill you.
Are you sure? You don't think he'll ask his mother to do it for him?
Sherzad sucked in a breath. Before she could stop herself, she launched into a whispered tirade.
You know nothing about him, and your ignorance will be your downfall. Get out of here, Tarik, because if Khalid walks through that door, he will cut you to ribbons before you have a chance to open your mouth, and it will destroy me. Beyond words, beyond time, if you love me, do not force me to watch such a sight.
Sherzad clutched the front of his rida as she spoke, her features twisted in deep distress. Tarik's initial shock melted away at the prospect of her pain.
Shazi, I'm sorry. Don't be sorry, just go.
Tarik took a slow step from the wall. Then he swiveled around to grab Sherzad by the waist and press her back against the stone. He ran his palms along her arms.
I love you, Sherzad el-Khaizuran.
There is nothing I would not do for you. Nothing I would not consider if it meant keeping you safe. The world itself should fear me if it stands between us.
I love you too, Tarik.
He smiled. Then, without warning, he caught her lips in his. Sherzad's jaw slackened in surprise, and Tarik deepened the kiss, tilting her chin upward with a gentle caress of his thumb. Sherzad's mouth responded automatically. Her lips curved over his, as they had on many occasions before. But why did it feel wrong this time? Where was that breathless, weightless thrill? That thoughtless moment of incandescence? Where was that feeling of falling?
It's here. I know it's here. I can get it back. I have to get it back.
Realizations upon explanations. A day of hunting for sport should prove interesting indeed. Tarik strode down another never-ending corridor with a guard at his side. As he walked, he glanced around him at the splendor of the palace at Rey. The walls and domed ceilings above were polished beyond reason, and each portico was delineated at its center by a golden sunburst, supported by swooping beams and columned arches of blue-veined agate. It was beautiful, without a doubt, if a bit cold and imposing. Soon he joined a gathering of noblemen taking part in today's hunting excursion. In truth, Tarik was glad for the distraction and glad for the opportunity to spend time in the company of his target. His interaction with Sherzad the night before had troubled him greatly. It was unlike her to be so cagey and distant. It was also unlike her to be so concerned with safety. Usually she was the first one to throw herself into the fray, heedless of the consequences. When they were younger, Sherzad had wanted to learn how to climb trees. Bored with the prospect in short order, she'd then insisted on breaching the walls of Talakan. Both he and Rahim had begged her to cease in this foolishness, but, if anything, it had only spurred her onward. While watching her climb one afternoon, with her black hair streaming behind her in a tangled mess, he had caught sight of the mortar easing from the wall in a cloud of white dust by her foot. He had known, in that instant, that the brick was about to come loose. Tarik had shouted an all-too-late warning. He had heard Shiva scream from behind him when Sherzad fell. His heart had left his chest as her small body plummeted to the sand. Tarik was the one who had reached her first, who had clutched her to him, demanding she respond. And he was the one who had cursed loudly when she laughed at him, saying she was fine, even if her head did hurt a little. That was the day he first told her he loved her. Tarik inhaled through his nose. It was also unlike Shahrzad to hesitate about anything. And she had hesitated last night. When he said he loved her on the balcony, she hesitated in her response. Then, when he kissed her, something was wrong. He could feel her thinking, feel her questioning, feel her wanting something else, or someone else. It was driving him mad. "I don't believe we've been introduced. I'm Captain Al-Khoury." Standing next to him was the arrogant boy with the curly hair and the omnipresent smirk. Tarik returned a polite smile. "Tarik Imran Al-Ziyad." "Yes, I know." "Does my reputation precede me?" "I should hope not, if I were you." The boy grinned in jest. "You brought your own falcon, correct? Rather fortuitous, considering today's event. Are you this well-informed in all matters?" "It's a hazard of my occupation. Speaking of such things, I was surprised to learn that you arrived with your father's invitation in hand. I was looking forward to meeting him." Tarik crossed his arms to conceal his sudden discomfort. "He was ill and asked me to come to Rey in his stead." "A pity. Please convey my wishes for a speedy recovery." Captain Al-Khoury's gaze roved to an archway in the corner, and his features leveled, retaining a semblance of their former amusement. The boy king had arrived. This time Tarik took care to note the sword at the caliph's left hip. The blade was an unusual one, to be sure, longer and more slender than a scimitar, with a sharply tapered edge. "It's called a shamshir," Captain Al-Khoury offered, watching Tarik with unabashed curiosity. "I'm not familiar with that particular weapon." Captain Al-Khoury nodded. "It's unusual, but then so is Khalid."
"Khalid?"
"He's my cousin." Tarik's lips flattened.
"I see."
Captain Al-Khoury laughed.
"Don't worry. We have very little in common beyond blood."
"Meaning?"
"Meaning I won't break every bone in your body for a single misstep."
Though he continued smiling, his tone hovered on the verge of threatening, and Tarik chose to ignore it.
"That sounds unduly harsh."
"And appropriately fitting." Captain Al-Khoury grinned again, this time a bit wider. "I told you, Khalid is unusual." Tarik swiveled back toward the boy king, a series of lines creasing his sun-drenched forehead. "He seems very quiet."
"He is quiet, but a man much wiser than I once said that the smartest men are the silent ones."
Tarik waited, barely managing to conceal his growing contempt. Captain Al-Khoury leaned closer.
"Because they hear everything."
"It's an interesting notion," Tarik mused. "Who said it?" Captain Al-Khoury smirked with cool deliberation.
"Khalid."
Then he strode to the boy king's side.
When the Sultan of Parthia arrived, the group of men began making their way down the corridors toward an open-air gallery 10 times the size of the one at Talakan. On one end of the gallery was a series of arched double doors leading to the beginnings of a lush tree-lined garden. As the men traversed this course, they crossed paths with Shahrzad. She was walking through another set of double doors with an attractive young handmaiden and the same menacing brute of a bodyguard from last night. Tarik's chest hollowed at the sight of her. She grew more beautiful with each passing moment, as though life in this palace of cold, polished stone suited her. Today, her garments of silver and rose made her black hair and bronze skin appear even more stunning than usual. He much preferred this to her showy garb of last night, even though she dazzled every man in the room with her blue sapphires and black silk. But then, she dazzled Tarik always. The assemblage of men paused to greet the Khalifa, and the bastard from Parthia stepped forward to make his own particular effort. Tarik fought back the urge to react, to lash out. Thankfully, Captain Al-Hori moved in Sherzad's direction, and Tarik disliked him a little less for it. Until the boy king stopped his cousin with a single motion of his hand. Infuriated, Tarik's eyes shot to his target. A hint of emotion flashed across the boy king's face. Pride? The Sultan of Parthia glided before Sherzad, charm oozing from him like a wasting disease.
Good morning, my lady. I trust you had a nice evening.
Sherzad bowed. I did, my lord, and you?
He nodded. A very nice evening.
My daughter tells me she had a lovely conversation with you and was glad to have made your acquaintance.
I did enjoy my conversation with Yasmin, my lord. It was enlightening.
I believe she used the very same word, my lady.
I find that rather appropriate, my lord, given our exchange.
As silver-tongued as a viper, he laughed. Tell me, my lady, do you ever miss a moment to strike?
Sherzad smiled, and it was brilliant and biting all at once.
I fear that would be unwise, my lord, especially in a den of snakes.
The Sultan shook his head, his amusement too lasting to be real.
You must visit us in Parthia, for our snakes have far less occasion to strike.
Yasmin and I insist upon it. The next time Khalid comes to Amarda, you must join him so we can return your hospitality.
It would be an honor, my lord. Sherzad dipped her head, her fingertips grazing her brow.
The Sultan turned back to the boy king, a disconcerting gleam in his eye.
Truly, nephew, she is a treasure. See that you keep her safe.
Only a fool would have missed the implied threat dripping from his every word.
Yet the weak boy king said nothing, did nothing, even though Tarik longed to assail the bastard from Parthia with both fists and an axe.
Silent men are the wisest.
Tarik fumed to himself and folded his arms across his chest. The boy king strode to Sherzad. He stopped an arm's length in front of her, and yet again said nothing. He regarded her in silence with his strange orange-gold eyes. After a moment, he started to smile, and Sherzad nodded once, almost indiscernibly. The hollow in Tarik's chest deepened further. Sherzad and the boy king shared an understanding that did not require words. The boy king bowed low before his khalifa with a hand to his forehead. As he straightened, he shifted his palm over his heart and walked away. The group trailed behind him, paying their respects to Sherzad as they passed. When Tarik paused before her, she averted her eyes, her cheeks pink, and her fists clenched in the folds of her silver cloak. It was in that instant Tarik remembered his uncle's words the first night he and Rahim had arrived in Rey, covered in dust and exhausted from 2 days of hard traveling.
The city is rife with speculation, namely, that the caliph must be in love with his new bride.
Tarik quickened his pace as the assemblage gathered in the first portion of a multi-tiered garden full of flowering trees and an elaborate aviary of colorful songbirds. The boy king kept glancing over his shoulder at his palace as they descended into each subsequent tier. Finally, Captain Al-Hori announced, in a voice far beyond the scope of normal conversation,
"Saidi, I do believe you left something rather important in the grand portico."
The boy king narrowed his strange eyes at his cousin.
"Perhaps you should attend to it and join us later for the hunt."
Captain Al-Hori's obnoxious grin grew even wider. The boy king glanced over his shoulder once more. Then he pivoted in a faultless motion, offering murmured apologies as he cut through the crowd. Tarik knew without a doubt that he was on his way to Sherzad, as did all the noblemen remaining. Their caliph had barely disappeared from view before the conversation turned raucous. The less scrupulous began taking bets as to how long it would be before Khorasan had a new heir to the throne. The Sultan of Parthia listened with a ready ear and a disparaging eye.
Tarik grinned, through waves of rage and torment. After a time, he could no longer abide it. He turned on his heel.
"Where are you going?" Captain Al-Hori asked.
Tarik thought quickly. "I left my Mancala in my chamber."
"I believe we can find one for you."
Tarik shook his head with an apologetic smile. "Zoraya is a temperamental bird, a creature of habit. Tell me where to meet you, and the guard can show me the way."
Captain Al-Hori's gaze darted across Tarik's face.
"The horses will be saddled and waiting at the promenade by the royal stables."
Tarik nodded and motioned to a guard off to the side.
"Tarik Imrod Al-Ziyad?"
"Yes, Captain Al-Hori."
"Is that particular Mancala really of such import?"
Tarik grinned, his silver eyes bright.
"It is if I intend to win."
Shahrazad paused before the calligraphy, studying the intricate dips and delicate flourishes in each of the artist's brushstrokes. The many colors of the ink swirled across the parchment, giving life to the words on the page. Above her, streams of gauzy light spilled through the dome of the grand portico from windows around a sunburst of silver and gold. The gilded rays stretched across the dome to 9 cornices, forming a halo of shelves that connected columns of sienna marble from the ceiling to the floor.
"This one is completely unreadable," Despina complained, staring over Sherzad's shoulder.
"I think it's another love poem," Sherzad smiled.
"What is the purpose behind learning to write so beautifully if no one can decipher your words?"
"It's an expression of feeling. I suppose this is how the poem made the artist feel."
"So this poem rendered him illiterate?"
Sherzad laughed, and the lyrical sound carried up into the dome, bouncing from the cornices back to the stone at their feet.
"You laugh very loud, as if you are the only one in the world," Despina commented.
Sherzad wrinkled her nose.
"That's funny. My sister says something very similar."
"I assume it makes little difference to you."
"Why? You'd prefer I stop?" she teased.
"No," Khalid said as he strode into the grand portico. "I would not."
"Saidi," Despina bowed. He nodded at her.
"I cannot speak for Despina, but you do laugh too loud, and I hope you never stop."
Despina tucked her chin to her chest and smiled as she hurried out of the grand portico without a word. Sherzad stared up at Khalid, warring with a resurgence of emotions. Her throat tightened, and the anger threatened to pour from her in a storm of words he did not deserve to hear. Because he did not deserve to know her deepest thoughts, her truest desires. How much she cared for him, and how little it should matter.
"May your secrets give you solace, Khalid ibn al-Rashid, for I won't."
Sherzad lifted her chin and turned to leave. Khalid snared her elbow as she passed him.
"I knocked at your door last night," he began.
Her heart shuddered to a stop.
"I was tired."
She refused to look his way.
"And angry with me,"
he said softly. Sherzad glared at him over her shoulder. He studied her features.
"No, irate."
"Let go of me."
Khalid released her arm.
"I understand why. I was remiss in not telling you about Yasmin. I apologize. It won't happen again."
"Remiss?"
Sherzad faced him with a caustic laugh.
"Remiss?
Do you know how foolish I looked? How foolish I felt?"
Khalid sighed.
"She wanted to hurt you, and it troubles me to see how successful she was."
"How successful she was? You miserable, unfeeling ass? You think I'm angry because of what she did? Because she danced for you? My God, Khalid! How can you be so intelligent and so inexcusably dense in the same instant?"
He flinched.
"Sherzad, this has nothing to do with her. You hurt me. Khalid ibn al-Rashid, the secrets, the locked doors I will never be given keys to, they wound me," she shouted. "Time and again, you wound me and walk away." Her pain followed the same course as her laughter, striking against the cornices above and back to the marble at their feet. Khalid listened to its echo and closed his eyes with a grimace. When he opened them again, he reached for Sherzad. She drew back.
"I will not cry, not for you."
Undeterred, Khalid grasped her wrists in each of his hands and lifted her palms to his face. "Strike out at me if you wish, Shazi. Do whatever you will. But don't inflict the self-same wound. Don't leave." He placed her hands on either side of his jaw, skimming his fingertips down her arms while awaiting her judgment. Sherzad stood frozen, a mask of ice and stone between her palms. When she did nothing, Khalid brushed back the hair from her face with a touch that soothed and burned all at once.
"I'm sorry, Junam. For the secrets. For the locked doors. For everything. I promise to tell you one day, but not yet. Trust that some secrets are safer behind lock and key," he said quietly. "Junam." He'd called her that before. "My everything."
As on the night she'd told the tale of Tala and Merdad, why did it have such a ring of truth to it? She bit her lower lip in an effort to keep it still, to stop the fount of words longing to spring forth, longing to confess the yearnings of a capricious heart. "Forgive me 1,000 times over for wounding you." He leaned in and pressed a soft kiss to her forehead.
"I'm lost to him. I can't ignore it any longer."
Sherzad closed her eyes in defeat and slid her palms to his chest. Then she reached behind him in an embrace of sandalwood and sun. Khalid wrapped both his arms around Sherzad, and they stood together under the dome of the grand portico, with the indecipherable art of love poems giving silent testament. The hollow in his chest was nothing now. He would gladly go back to that if it meant never having to witness this sight again. When Tariq first entered the vestibule leading into the grand portico, he thought he was in the wrong place. It was so quiet. There was no way Sherzad could be here. Then, when he rounded the corner, he saw the reason for the silence. It stopped him like a dagger hurled through the air. The boy king was holding Sherzad in his arms, placing a gentle kiss on her brow, and Sherzad was leaning into his embrace. Tariq watched as she shifted her slender fingers to the boy king's back and drew him closer, resting her cheek against his chest as a weary traveler to the bole of a tree. The worst part of it all, the part that took the very breath from Tariq's body, was the unguarded look of peace on her face. As though this was right. As though she wanted nothing more. Sherzad was in love with Shiva's murderer. The guard behind him deliberately made noise. Apparently he did not care to learn the consequences of eavesdropping on the Caliph of Khorasan. From the distant shadows to Tariq's right, Sherzad's mammoth bodyguard twisted into view, flashing a silver blade and a guise of punishing promise. But the thing that truly gave Tariq pause was the reaction of the boy king, the supposed aging camel. At the first hint of an unforeseen threat, he pulled Sherzad behind him. He shielded her in a menacing stance augmented by the metallic rasp of his shamshir, which he held steady in his right hand with the blade pointed to the floor, poised to attack. The boy king's usually expressionless face was drawn and tight, with signs of barely leashed fury rippling along his jaw. His eyes blazed like molten rock, livid and single-minded in their purpose. Sherzad grabbed the boy king's shoulder. "Khalid," she cried, "what are you doing?" He did not waver. Now Tariq understood Sherzad's plea from last night. This was not a bored, dispassionate king who sent his wife to fight his battles. This was definitely something more, something Tariq needed time to consider. And time
to rip out his heart in kind.
Tarik grinned, running his fingers through his hair.
Are we not meeting here for the hunt? He asked.
Khalid regarded Nasir al-Ziyad's son with mounting irritation. The boy's explanation for his intrusion into the grand portico was absurd. His stupidity had nearly cost him his life. Under normal circumstances, Khalid would not have reacted in such a manner. But Salim Ali al-Sharif was in Ray. Just this morning, he had stood in the open-air gallery of Khalid's palace and made veiled threats against Sherzad. Khalid had expected as much, but it did not affect him any less to bear witness to it. Ignoring any threat from the Sultan of Parthia, no matter how inconsequential, had always proved to be unwise. Khalid did not know who this foolish boy was or where his allegiances might lie. Yesterday, such matters were not of pressing import. Yesterday, the boy was but a mild nuisance. The only reason he had sparked Khalid's interest at all was because of the way he'd looked at Sherzad today. It was not in the manner most men appreciate a beautiful woman. Most men appreciated beauty with an emphasis on form. The vast majority of Khalid's guests were mindful of such behavior. The ones who didn't were of note, but they had reputations to match. Morally reprehensible men with lascivious eyes that latched onto anything in their general vicinity. Tarik Imran al-Ziyad did not linger on Sherzad with the eye of man appreciating form. What Sherzad had to say mattered to the boy, as did the thoughts behind her words. Khalid walked beside Nasir al-Ziyad's son down the stairs into the next tier of gardens as they made their way to the stables. His guards trailed close behind them. "Please permit me to apologize again, Saidi." The boy adjusted his mankala with another sheepish grin. Khalid continued through the garden, glancing sideways at the boy.
"Rest assured, I've noted the difference between a portico and a promenade, Saidi.
It would have served me better had you known that today," Khalid muttered. The boy laughed, and the sound was rich, an easy laugh that inspired others to take part.
"Thank you for not cutting me to ribbons, Saidi."
Thank the queen. Had I been alone, things might have gone differently. The boy's assertive gait faltered a step.
"May I congratulate you, Saidi? The queen. You seem well suited to each other."
An ever-increasing nuisance, Khalid halted and faced the boy. He was half a hand taller than Khalid and broad in the shoulder. It needled Khalid to look up at such a fool. "Sherzad is a difficult girl, and I am a monster. I suppose that makes for a good match." The boy's pale eyes flared at Khalid's words.
"You're offended?" Khalid watched his features intently.
"By which part?"
"By all of it, Saidi."
The boy was not a gifted liar. The mild nuisance was now a full-blown concern. When the boy attempted to crack the awkward silence with another charming smile, Khalid proceeded down the path.
"Are you married, Tarik Imran al-Ziyad?"
"No, Saidi, but I plan on marrying soon."
"Then you are engaged?"
"Yes, Saidi, to a girl I've loved for many years." The boy appeared to be telling the truth. "Which is why I congratulated you earlier. It is a great gift to find lasting love. One that gives for every bit it takes," the boy stated with unusual conviction. It was the first interesting thing the boy had contributed to their conversation, and it did not sit well with Khalid. After a time, they approached the stables, and Jalal wandered out to greet them. His head slanted with puzzlement when he saw the foolish boy. Then he nodded with welcome, and the boy smiled back.
"Again, Saidi, I apologize for earlier. Please thank the queen on my behalf. It appears I owe her my life."
The boy bowed low before Khalid and sauntered toward the stables, his white ridda trailing behind him.
"What happened?" Jalal asked once he was out of earshot. Khalid did not respond.
"All is well with you and Shazi?"
Jalal pressed. Khalid continued staring after Nasir al-Ziyad's son. Khalid?
Find out everything about Tariq Imran al-Ziyad, his family, their associations, all of it.
Jalal started to laugh.
What's so amusing? Khalid demanded.
Blood runs true. That boy has bothered me all day.
A floating carpet and a rising tide. Sherazad stood in the small room housing all her garments. She watched Despina set aside parcel after parcel of wrapped silk in a wide assortment of colors.
By Zeus, would you just pick one? Sherazad groaned, coiling her waves of black hair to one side.
Be patient. I'm looking for something specific.
Then be specific about it, and I can help.
Despina rose to her feet and stretched her arms above her head. She winced as she kneaded her left shoulder. Sherazad's forehead wrinkled in concern.
How do you feel?
I'm fine. I slept poorly last night.
That's not what I meant.
Despina laughed with trilling dismissiveness.
I have many months before it will be an issue, Sherazad.
Have you told Jalal yet?
No.
When will you tell him?
When I muster the courage or when I'm left with no choice. Whichever comes first, and I won't discuss the matter further.
Despina twisted to the back corner of the room and stooped to rustle through more parcels of silk. Sherazad frowned at her handmaiden, wondering if Despina ever managed a decent night's rest, with such worries wreaking their silent havoc.
Why won't she tell him?
When Despina resurfaced, her features were pinched by annoyance.
The garment may be in my room for mending. Come with me.
The two girls left behind the piles of silk and damask to cross Sherazad's bedchamber. They paused before a single polished wood door near the entrance. Despina pushed it open and walked down a narrow corridor before grasping the silver handle leading to another chamber at the end. Sherazad had never been in Despina's room before, even though it was so near her own. The chamber was small and tidy, with a neat arrangement of cushions on one side and a low table on the other. The wardrobe in the corner was made of the same honey-colored wood as the table, and the entire space was lightly perfumed in the floral scent of jessamine. Despina walked to the wardrobe and opened one side to begin her search. Sherazad's eyes wandered past the wooden chest, and she noticed something wedged against the wall, tied in a bundle secured by hemp cord. It was the rug gifted to her by Musa Zaragoza.
Why is that in here?
Sherazad nodded toward the bundle. Despina glanced over her shoulder and sighed.
I kept meaning to ask you if I could throw it away.
It was a gift. It's old and threadbare, and it will likely attract vermin. I don't want such a thing amongst your garments.
Sherazad rolled her eyes.
Give it to me. Despina shrugged before passing along the bundle. Why anyone would gift the Khalifa of Khorasan a tiny shabby carpet is beyond me. Sherazad held it in both hands as she recalled the day Musa Effendi had visited the palace.
It is a very special carpet. When you are lost, it will help you find your way.
I don't think it's a mere rug.
Then what is it?
It could be a map of sorts, Sherazad mused.
If it's a map, it's outdated and therefore useless.
Sherazad turned from Despina's room and strode down the narrow hall back to her bedchamber. She knelt on the floor and set the bundle down. Then she began tugging at the knot of hemp at its center. When her efforts proved futile, she remembered why her curiosity had failed to win out upon first receiving the gift.
This knot is from hell itself, Sherazad grumbled, as Despina peered over her shoulder.
Let me try. Her handmaiden crouched beside her and began pulling at the strings. Faced with similar results, she lifted the knot and studied it for a spell. Then she removed a silver pin from the crown of hair atop her head. A cascade of golden walnut curls spilled onto her shoulder, and Despina started working the pin into the center of the knot.
"You shall not prevail, little Helmut," she whispered, squinching her blue eyes over the bundle. Moments later, the knot tugged free, and both girls shouted in triumph. Sherazade unwrapped the rug and spread it out on the floor. It was indeed as worn and threadbare as it initially appeared, rust-colored, with a border of dark blue and a center medallion of black and white scrollwork. Almost all the fringe of tassels had frayed away. The few that remained were dirty and yellowed with age, still clinging to misbegotten hope. Two corners boasted holes that resembled scorch marks. As she ran her palms across it, an odd, tingling sensation began to form in her chest. She drew back in sudden alarm. "What's wrong?" Despina asked. The sensation was gone. Sherazade glanced down at her hands and ran her thumbs across her fingers. "Nothing." Both girls stood to inspect the small rug. "Well, that's an ugly carpet," Despina pronounced. Sherazade laughed. "May I please throw it away?" Despina pressed. "I thought it might be a map. Musa Effendi told me it would help me find my way." Sherazade's brow furrowed. "You mean the Magus from the Fire Temple? Is that what Musa Effendi is?" Despina pursed her lips and looked away. "You weren't supposed to tell me that," Sherazade smirked, "were you?" Despina glared at her. "Interesting," Sherazade continued. "Though I'm not surprised. Jalal does seem to be the talkative type. I wonder what he says in moments of..." "Sherazade!" Sherazade laughed as she dodged Despina's threatening shove. Her bare heel grazed the rug, and the strange tingling flared in her chest once more. Increasingly disturbed, she knelt before the carpet and placed her palm to its surface. A prickly feeling, almost like losing sensation in a foot from sitting too long, began to warm around her heart. The warmth soon spread to her shoulders and down her arm. Then, when she ran her fingers along the edge of the rug, it curled into her hand, as though it had a life of its own. Sherazade gasped in shock and fell on her side in a graceless heap. "What happened?" Despina demanded, kneeling beside her. "The rug moved." "What?" Sherazade scrambled to her knees, her heart tripping about in her chest. "Look!" She pushed her hand to the carpet until the prickly sensation filled her palm, and one corner of the rug rose from the floor. Despina shrieked a curse and jumped back. "What's wrong with it?" "How should I know?" Sherazade yelled. Do it again." Sherazade repeated the process, and another corner of the carpet lifted from the floor with the ease of a rising cloud. At this, Despina regarded her with wary circumspection. "Have you ever done that to anything before?" "No, it's the carpet, not me." Despina knelt and placed her own palms to the worn, rust-colored surface. She waited a beat. Nothing happened. "It's not just the carpet, Sherazade, it's you." Sherazade chewed on the inside of her cheek. "Then you are unaware. It lies dormant in your blood." Despina exhaled in a huff of exasperation. She held Sherazade's hand to the carpet. When its edges curled off the floor and Sherazade tried to pull away, Despina refused to let go. Soon the entire rug was floating in the air beside their shoulders, weightless, as though woven from a dream. When the girls withdrew their touch, the carpet drifted back to the marble with the grace of a petal to the earth. "Well," Despina whispered in awe, "that certainly is a neat little trick." Tariq dismounted in the desert before Omar al-Sadiq's large patchworked tent. He grabbed his stallion's bridle and led it to a trough of water nearby. As the horse drank, the mirrored surface rippled around its snout in concentric rings. Tariq ran his palm along the magnificent animal's neck. The return journey had not been an easy one. Despite her reassurances as to her safety, leaving the city of Ray, leaving Sherazade, had been all but impossible. He'd acquiesced to her wishes, but it had been done with a heavy, bitter heart. For the past 5 days, Tariq had ridden,
through the blowing sands under a blazing sun, in constant war with his thoughts. How had it come to this? Nothing made sense. The girl he knew was not capable of such fickleness. The girl he loved was too smart, too resourceful, too loyal to be won over by a monster, especially one who had murdered her best friend. As this tempest raged about in his mind, Tarik found himself returning to its most salient point. None of this made sense. Therefore, it required an explanation. Tarik remembered hearing tales of captives losing their will to their captors, prisoners falling in love with their vanquishers. While he'd never believed in such a possibility before, it was the only thing that made sense of Sherzad's behavior. She was not herself. That palace, that world, that monster had taken away the girl Tarik loved and driven her to forget all she held dear. He had to get her out of there, soon. The sound of Zoraya's piercing cry tore him from his thoughts. Tarik whistled for her, and she landed on his outstretched Mankala, impatient for her evening meal. He was preoccupied, but he managed to smile at the falcon as he offered her a strip of dried meat.
"Our nameless Saheb returns,"
a familiar voice crowed from behind him.
"Though, if the rumors are to be believed, he is nameless no more."
Tarik turned to the sun-weathered face of Omar al-Sadiq. "Rumors?" Omar grinned wide and gap-toothed.
"Such is the way of rumors. We are often the last to know the ones in our honor."
Tarik closed his eyes for a spell. The eccentric sheikh was trying his last bit of patience. "There are rumors in my honor?"
"About the White Falcon, the savior of Khorasan."
"What are you talking about?" Tarik heaved a weary sigh.
"Have you not heard of him? They say he rides under a banner emblazoned by the standard of a White Falcon, that he intends to storm the city of Rey and overthrow its evil king."
Omar's eyes twinkled.
"As it turns out, I believe you are quite familiar with the White Falcon. His friends call him Tarik."
"I'm sorry," Tarik said brusquely, knocking back the hood of his dusty white Rida. "But I'm in no mood for your games."
"Games? War is not a game, my friend. Games are for small children and old men like me. War is a young man's blighted delight."
"Cease with the word games, Omar. I can't stomach—"
"Would you like to see your banner instead?" Omar winked. "It's quite—"
"Please!" The single word cracked against the desert sky, filling it with frustration and the lasting hint of pain. Omar's keen eyes took in Tarik's aggrieved face.
"What happened while you were in Rey, my friend?"
Tarik released Zoraya into the clouds and leaned back against the trough.
"Tell me what troubles you so,"
Omar pressed in a gentle voice.
I have to get Shazi out of there, away from that place, away from that monster."
"You are worried for her safety?"
Omar nodded slowly.
"Then why have you returned?"
His concern eclipsed his bluntness. Tarik cringed, unable to respond.
"Can you not tell me what happened, my friend?"
Tarik gazed into the settling dusk on the horizon. A trace of the sun's warmth lingered along the edge, fading into blues that bled their way to black.
"I suspected he might care for her. After all, he let her live when so many others—"
Tarik's silver eyes chilled in thought.
"But I did not expect this."
Omar scratched at his beard.
"I see."
"What? What do you see?"
Tarik turned toward the Bedouin sheikh.
"You believe the young caliph?"
Omar lifted a gnarled hand to Tarik's shoulder.
"Is in love with your Sherzad."
Tarik fixed his gaze on the coarse linen of Omar's sleeve.
"And what led you to believe this?"
Omar continued in the same kind tone.
"The... It's the way he looks at her, Tarik whispered. It's the only time I even begin to understand him.
Omar squeezed his shoulder.